You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. Love going back to our rural roots. We're doing that today. Montana taxpayers, you are investing $11 million in a wool laboratory at MSU. Are you wondering how that's going to help? We're going to try to tell you. There's $2 million you're funding to help finish construction of two of Montana's four state-owned greenhouses. How's that going to help? We're going to help you understand that. How does agriculture help us all in Montana? Short of making it rain, especially during a drought? Today, the focus is on ag with the dean of MSU's College of Agriculture, Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, and Colter Brown, today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your two hosts, Tom Schultz and Colter Brown.
Yeah, 2 decades strong, working on three. This objective perspective, Voices of Montana. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us be a part of your Montana mornings for those 2 decades, 23 years, and then going on. So when the state invests tax dollars in agriculture, it's fair to ask, what's the payoff? We're not all farmers. We're not all ranchers. How does that help us all? We speak often on this program about our rural roots and how much we value those. And those are based in agriculture. And I think we address the economics of it a lot. Montana's number one industry, good years, it's $4 billion plus. Not so good years, it's still a $2 billion industry. That spreads around pretty good. Helps fund our schools, our businesses, our infrastructure. Today, we're going to dive into some topics here with a researcher, a leader in agriculture and education, and someone who's just trying to help the egg industry reach more of its full potential. But Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, can you make it rain?
That is a very good question. Unfortunately, no.
Have we tried yet, though?
Yeah, I would like to, but
In studio, Dr. Shrikala Bajwa is Vice President, Dean and Director of the College of Agriculture and Montana's Agriculture Experiment Station, and Colter Brown, too, our Northern Ag News Director. How you doing, son?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for letting me crash in. Talk a little ag news on Voices of Montana occasionally, so we're always happy to do it.
Great to have you in here, too. So, Shrikala, and I know you want me to call you Shrikala,
That's right.
You're a doctor as well. Got your doctorate here in America, University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. But let's start with your background, because you're not really from around these parts, are you?
No, I am. You know, I was born and brought up in India, in a farming family in the very southern part of India. That's very tropical, close to the ocean, very different kind of agriculture. So we had, when I was growing up, we had three crops a year, which is probably, you know, unheard of in these parts. So we usually had two rice crops and one, you know, sesame or peas or something like that in the low-lying areas. And then in the highlands where there is, you know, less water, we had multi-cropping system, you know, coconuts, bananas, mangoes, tapioca or cassava, as it is called here, and black pepper and all kind of things. So I grew up in a farming family, and while growing up, you know, it was a lot of work. You know, we kind of whined about it. But once I left home for education, I really realized, you know, how wonderful a childhood I had and how much I love agriculture. So I went into agriculture for my college, and here I am today.
And I appreciate you being here, too. Go ahead, Colter.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a very different kind of agriculture. You mentioned the tropical region, and now you're up here where it doesn't hardly rain at all here. So kind of what led you into work in the northern plains, into more, you know, cereal crops and livestock?
That's a very good point you're making, Colter. You know, I grew up in a place that probably has the highest rainfall in the world, you know.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah. And now I am in a place, you know, we are all, you know, wishing there was more rain. You know, it's a, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, the crops dying and the livestock being, you know, forage being impacted. Everybody is being impacted by the drought. But that all being said, agriculture is agriculture. You know, the fundamentals are the same, and I am really blessed and happy to be in this position and trying to help, you know, from a research side. Research doesn't happen overnight, but whatever we can do, we are trying to do it, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, so, we're very happy to have you.
So agriculture is agriculture, but is marketing marketing? Is it the same there in India, or is it different here in America?
I would say agriculture is agriculture, but there is a lot of difference. You know, Indian agriculture is not as modern as in U.S. or in Montana. It's, you know, the high-tech, the technology part is not there, although they are trying to bring in more technology into agriculture. And marketing is the biggest piece. You know, I think people are more comfortable with the cell phones and the cell phone-based tools. But still, India is way, way behind in marketing.
And technology is where you've spent a lot of your research. I know you came to us from NDSU in Fargo, and that was kind of one of the areas that you focus in, precision agriculture, helping bring us all into the into the 21st century.
Yeah. You know, that's my research has been when I was doing research in precision agriculture technology. And when I interviewed here, that is one thing I heard. And since then, that's one thing I hear, one demand. You know, we need to build a precision ag program here. And I'm very, very excited and happy to say that one of our long-standing partners, Northwest Farm Credit Services, came forward last year with a $2 million gift, and $1.5 million of those dollars is devoted to developing a Precision Ag program. So it's very, very exciting to me, you know, because that is my area, and that is one of the charges I was given when I came here. So our idea is, you know, Northwest Farm Credit Services, you know, their interest aligns with ours. They want to see a program that helps farmers and a program that that would prepare the next generation of agriculture professionals with the skills in precision ag. So that's exactly what we are planning to do, or that's what we proposed. You know, right now we are in the process of hiring 4 new people. They will bring skills that we don't have at Montana State University today, and they will develop research programs. They will develop courses that will prepare our students. They will also develop outreach program to train farmers. And my focus is, or my hope is, that we will have a focus on crop as well as a focus on livestock. You know, most of the time now they may go up and down, but the crops and livestock are sort of equal importance in Montana. And we are also hoping that they will bring, it is going to be an interdisciplinary team that will work together. They will bring ag economics, precision ag economics. So they would have skills in data science. So that is the new thing, right? They will know, you know, crops and soils and natural resources and livestock. And they will work with the faculty from multiple departments and colleges within the university. And they will also, this has to be a partnered effort. You know, we need agriculture producers, this group, to be working with agriculture producers and agriculture industry in this state. And so that's what I am envisioning, and I am excited. There are lots of opportunities. When the new people are in place, they may bring new ideas. However, you know, I said, you know, this group needs to bring in people from Montana to hear what their biggest challenges are, where the needs are, where the opportunities are, and how to partner, you know, whom to partner in what kind of research. So that's what I'm looking forward, and this is exciting because, you know, I have been in different federal panels and discussions, looking at the nationwide opportunities in agriculture. Every single one of them bring up precision agriculture and the adoption of technology and opportunities for economic development in rural areas if only we have connectivity there and opportunity for employing precision agriculture there. So this is about increasing the efficiency of agriculture in Montana and across the nation, meaning, you know, you invest a certain amount of inputs, you know, whether it's the seeds or tillage or fertilizer or water or whatever you put into that's for crop. For livestock, it is that conversion efficiency, you know, how effectively you can convert grass or feed into meat. So, you know, increasing that efficiency, you're using the same amount of inputs to increase the output, or you reduce the amount of input you apply to maintain or increase the output. So it is talking about economic benefit for the growers. It is talking about sustainability, long-term, how we are going to manage our fields. We all want, in agriculture, everybody wants, you know, the whether it is the land or the livestock, the ranch, to go into the next generation and to be there for a long time. So all that, you know, we are looking at all that aspects with precision agriculture.
Well, it's really exciting to see that and what we're doing at MSU, just becoming more efficient. It's agronomics and economics, and it makes a difference for Montana Ag. Tom, before you, I know we got a little off for the break here, but I want to talk a little about your role, Dr. Bajwa, at MSU. You're the second vice president of agriculture at MSU, and so that kind of makes you the person who runs ag at MSU. And what does that mean to Montana farmers and ranchers to have you as a vice president within the university, being in the inner circle of President Cruzado and helping to make decisions?
I have to start with that last point. You know, it's really a good experience to be working directly with President Cruzado. You know that she is a ball of energy, and she has the right priorities. You know, she understands agriculture, values agriculture, and want our agriculture college to be doing the best. And always very supportive of agriculture. You know, an example would be, you know, we are under hiring moratorium because of the pandemic, but you know, we had two of our plant breeders retiring during this time, and she understood how important it is. Those are two wheat breeders, spring wheat and winter wheat breeders. She understood how important it is, and she approved, you know, hiring exception, and got our commissioner's office to approve it as well. So we are in the middle of hiring those two positions. So those are economically very important to Montana. And asking about being a vice president, you know, it is a responsibility, and it is a honor, a privilege to be there. Really, the work is done by the team. In our faculty and staff, they put in the actual work. The leaders, you know, of the college, you know, with the department heads, the associate dean and associate director, we all work together to figure out what is important for Montana, where we should be putting our priorities, where the opportunities are. But it's not me, you know, doing the work. It is the team that doing the work. We have wonderful faculty, wonderful staff, researchers. They know, they understand the importance of identifying, working with the farmers, identifying their needs, and pushing the agriculture agenda forward so that our state's agriculture stays strong.
Going to continue to talk about technology here in a little bit, because I'm wondering how far technology can take us. Are we on the cusp? And technology is, it can be a game changer, but you don't know when the game gets changed, and you can't necessarily depend on technology. You hope for technology to come along and maybe make it rain or whatever the case is. But how far can technology take us? We also have on the docket to talk about the four greenhouses across the state and how they aid in researching. Want to talk to a bit about the Dan Scott Ranch Management Program, because as we're seeing an influx of people into Montana, ranch management as a career choice may also be on the rise. So we're back with more. Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, Vice President, Dean and Director of the College of Agriculture at MSU, along with Coulter Brown on Voices. In studio, highly regarded researcher, as we talked about precision agriculture, also with international inexperience, or experience in leadership, I should say, and an inventor, too, as I understand here, in digital agriculture and bio-based materials, Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, Vice President, Dean and Director, College of Agriculture and Montana Agriculture Experiment Station. That's quite a title.
You cannot blame me for the title. It was there before me.
A couple of questions. We'll get back to technology in a bit here, but and maybe it's related. I'm curious about how far technology can take us and how much weight we put on it, how many chips we throw in, when it comes to technology. But part of that is your field days are going on at these ag experiment stations, and that's why you've been around talking to stakeholders across the state of Montana. Outside of the, it's really dry, what are they telling you?
It's there is a variety of weather conditions and crop conditions I saw at the field day. So we have seven research centers across the state and then the main station at Bozeman. So we have 8 field days. And 7 of them are over this year. So next Thursday, we are having the last one at Core Valleys, our Western Ag Research Center. So there is a range of conditions. You know, some in Havre, it looked very dry. Sydney, some of them, you know, at least partway through the season, they had their irrigation system, but then a storm came through and twisted up and broke that irrigation system. And so they were not able to irrigate, but still it looked decent. Moccasin, again, very dry, although the day, field day, we were there, you know, that morning, rain came through and I was freezing cold there.
Wow.
You know, that is a nice change. So, a variety of conditions. But, I have to say our Montana Ag Experiment Station has a mission of addressing the challenges of agriculture sector in this state, the challenges people are facing through research. So these research centers located across the state are the vehicles through which we address those, you know, understand what the challenges the people are facing and address those. So each of the research center is representing a multi-county region. They have an advisory board from representation from each of the counties. That is one way. That advisory board is one way. They set their, you know, they get input from the people, set their research agenda. You know, the advisory board meets and discusses, the superintendent discusses their research agenda for the coming year with them, and that is an opportunity for them to say, hey, we have this other problem that is really important for this region. You need to do something about it. Or, you know, the superintendent can also say, you know, this is an up-and-coming issue that we need to address in this region. So that is one vehicle. Field days are another way to take that input and inform, educate people from the region or across the state. Anybody can come to the field day to tell them what kind of field research we do, how we are using the money, the taxpayer money that is invested in Montana Ag Experiment Station is utilized to address the challenges people are facing. So, you know, there are tours, field tours, where the researchers come and talk about what kind of research they are doing and why it is important for the people, and they make recommendation what varieties of the crops they should, are doing well in that region, and therefore they should consider when they are choosing varieties for the next year. So they get to see all that, and they get to give some input. You know, what are something we are not seeing? You know, what are some of the things they are facing? So it is it's a way to get community together, engage them in the research we do, get their input, address those challenges. So it's very, very important that I encourage all listeners to identify, you know, again, this year we have only one more field day left. But for next year, you know, consider going to a nearby research center field day and see what is happening, how their tax dollars are being utilized. And I want to go into this a little bit of the money side. You know, we are given state, we have a state budget of $16 million. So this last year, we were given a little bit over $16 million from the state. And our researchers, they are wonderful. They do great research. They went and leveraged that. And those $16 million are primarily invested on people, their salaries, benefits, a little bit of operational budget. they went and brought in another over $27 million from, you know, federal industry and commodity board grants. So, you know, it's more than doubled the money state has invested in it, on, you know, focused on problems that are important for people of Montana. That's one statistics I want people to know. You know, we are leveraging that money to great benefit to the people of Montana. The second is, you know, I just take three crops, you know, winter wheat, spring wheat, and barley. Together, you know, they are the varieties developed at Montana State University are planted in a large percentage of a significant amount of land in Montana. And also 72% of planted acres in winter wheat and 40% of spring wheat and 42% of barley that were planted in Montana were planted with our varieties. And if you look at the USDA NAS data, that is more than $600 million worth of value for that planted acreage. Again, I want to say it, the state investment is $16 million, and we have a huge impact. You know, the research we do have a huge impact in the state. And field days are opportunities for people to come and see the variety trials, you know, the soil acidity. We have 500,000 acres affected by soil acidity that is going to make it harder for farmers. So, you know, it's an opportunity to see what research we are doing and get engaged, give input.
So the last one is going to be Corvallis, you said, next Saturday at the Western A.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Thank you. Next Thursday. So that's open to the public. People go to the website, go to MSU. We'll probably have that on northernegg.net as well. Colter Brown is with us, director of the Northern Egg Network, and our guest in studio, Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, vice president, dean and director, College of Agriculture and Montana Agriculture Experiment Station at MSU. We'll take a break. Brian Bennett has headlines. We will talk about the state greenhouses. We will talk about the Wool Lab. We will talk about the Dan Scott Ranch Management Program. Dr. Shrikala Bajwa with us here from Montana State University. Colter Brown, director of the Northern Ag Network, also in studio here. And I'm Tom Schultz. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. Kind of want to finish up this segment before we have had this next break, Shrikala, about technology, because you're one of the leaders in not only in America at MSU, but internationally as well. You've invested in, you know, your time and energy in inventions and things like that. How far can technology take us? How many cards can we play from that technology deck?
You know, Tom, it's a very difficult question to answer. Yeah. You know, one thing I heard across the world, not just here in Montana, as well as, you know, across the nation and the world, is the difficulty finding farm workers this year more than ever because of COVID and all the travel restrictions and things like that. So one of the things with the precision ag is automating more of the operation. I think it was last year or earlier this year, our Montana World Trade Center had an Israel Montana Exchange a conference. I don't know, Colter, you had an opportunity to listen to that.
But yep, did.
You did? There were a couple of companies from Israel came and talked about using drone to monitor your cows, you know, if they are moving around, they have a health problem. And if there is a problem, a drone will, you know, they monitor the cows with the sensors mounted on the cow itself. But then if they detect a problem, a drone will go and take pictures and send it to whoever is managing that. And also using drones to herd the cattle. And they said something like they cut down the number of cowboys by half or something like that. Similarly, in crop agriculture, you know, our case, the tractor company has a fully automated tractor. So, you know, that's just one, you know, robotics and automation to reduce the number of people, reduce the mistake people make when they are working on the field during, you know, summertime, 11 hours or 12 hours or more a day. You know, it's difficult to make good decisions, you know, especially where to turn the, you know, the how much to apply or where to turn or the overlap and planting rate and things like that. So more automation, more accuracy, more efficiency, that is what we are shooting for. And it's hard to say where we are going to be, but there is a lot of interest in bringing intelligence into farming machinery, making solid, same, similar decisions every single time. So those are some of the things that we are looking at.
And I think it also attracts that younger producer and that younger farmer, which, you know, I don't know if we're turning a corner in that regard. You talked about labor to a certain degree, but I know that we are trying to attract in the industry, you know, kids back into farming. And I think we're doing a better job at that.
I agree.
We'll have to take a break. Dr. Shrikala Bajwa with us, Vice President, Dean and Director, College of Agriculture at Montana State University, also with Montana Ag Experiment Stations. And then Coulter Brown, too, in studio, Director of the Northern Ag Network. It's from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today. Appreciate you joining us here. We are talking agriculture. Dr. Shrikala Bajwa with us, Coulter Brown, Northern Ag Network. On Friday's program, we are going to be talking about Southwest Montana tourism. Becky Garland from Sculptures in the Wild, that's out of the Lincoln area. Rebecca Jones will be with us, Dylan History Days. And we'll talk a bit about the Townsend Fall Fest, Ross Johnson. I wanted to mention here today, this is sort of a shout out to the Montana Farmers Union, because it was on this date in 1912 that the first local Montana Farmers Union was organized in Ronan on the Flathead Indian Reservation. So there we go. Ag history all over the place in the state of Montana.
Look at that. Tom Schultz teaching me ag history.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, that is something. We'll note that. Again, as I mentioned, Dr. Shrikala Bajwa in the studio, and then Coulter Brown with the Northern Ag Network on the air since 1975. You got some history there too yourself,
Coulter.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I appreciate you letting me tag in here today. And Dr. Bajwa, one of the things I wanted to ask you about that you touched on in the last segment was funding from the legislature. Obviously, a lot of support there for the College of Agriculture and especially the experiment station system. And, you know, we talked $16 million, but really the legislature stepped up in this last year to support MSU in general more, but certainly the experiment stations getting some more funding out there so we can update some of the infrastructure that, if you've been to those field days, you know, some of it's a little dated, and so it certainly needs it.
Thanks, Coulter. I want to open up by thanking a bunch of people. You know, we have great friends and supporters in legislature who understands and support agriculture and agriculture research. So I am very pleased and very grateful for the hard work they have done and the support they have shown to Montana Ag Experiment Station and agriculture research. This last legislative session gave us a flat budget, and flat is good, you know. In these times, you know, it's great actually. And they also approved our long range building plan or a capital request. That request included five. Chemistry and instrumentation labs at the five of our research centers, and a new horticulture research building at the Corvallis, and a new wool lab at Bozeman. That's great. That is going to move our research forward. You know, as you said, many of our research centers have buildings from 1800s and early 1900, 1904, 1905, something like that. So it's very difficult to bring it up bring it to today's standards for research. So these labs are going to allow our faculty in those research centers to do cutting-edge research. Then the other part that the legislators supported was in the two greenhouses. You know, in 2019, we were approved for four greenhouses, but the money was sufficient only to build two. And this legislative session, they came forward and approved two more, you know, gave us some money to build the remaining two. Again, you know that agriculture is, especially crop agriculture, is a seasonal thing. And without the greenhouses, we can only do research during the summertime, you know, when crops are out in the field. With these greenhouses, we can do year-round research, and that is very, very important. So we are very pleased, and our researchers are, our faculty are excited about the opportunity to continue their research year-round. And so, again, you know, my gratitude goes to legislators, but also a bunch of friends and supporters, you know, our advisory board who went and gave testimonials. many agricultural organizations who gave a very strong testimonial on behalf of agriculture research, and many friends out there, you know, who may not be, you know, there on behalf, but they worked behind the scenes talking to their legislators and conveying that message how important agriculture is, the number one industry, and our agriculture research is the research arm of that industry. So I am grateful to everybody, you know, everybody helped in one way or another.
Well, and there's such a great partnership between the College of Agriculture and the ag industry. I mean, yes. We look back several years ago when the farmers and ranchers stepped up to help build the Animal Bioscience Building. And then I want to dig into the Wool Lab, because frankly, that wouldn't have happened without yourself, President Cruzado, saying this is a priority for the industry. And then the Montana wool growers stepping up and saying, we're going to commit to it, because it's only one of two wool labs in the entire country.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the wool research has gone away from many states. So Texas is the other state that has a wool lab, and we are the second one or first one.
However, I'd say first one. Yes. Yeah, certainly the priority.
Yeah, however you see. But, you know, this is again, you know, we keeping aligned with our mission. You know, wool growers came and said, I think this discussion has been there for a long time, but you know, 2019 after legislative session, or 2020, somewhere around that time, they came and said, you know, we need to request a new wool lab. And they came directly to President Cruzado. And as I said, she's very supportive of agriculture. And so it got into the list. And right now, you know, we are in the very early stages. There is a task force. As you know, the total cost of construction, what we asked is $6 million. And the state gave $5 million and gave authority to raise $1 million. So there is a fundraising component there. So task force has people from Wool Growers Association, people from MSU Alumni Foundation, from MSU. So they are kind of strategizing on one side. And at the same time, our campus planning is also looking into what we can do. You know, there is this old historic building where the lab is located right now. You know, there are some comments that came forward. We need to move that building to the new location, and it should be part of the new wool lab. So they are looking at all that possibilities and the potential location and things like that.
What do they do? Why does it matter? What are they doing at the wool lab that is important to all of us?
So Wool Lab, they have a primary mission is outreach, a service to the wool growers. So you can bring your wool and get it tested, look at the quality constraints. Or quality characteristics, if I understand, you know, our wool is probably second best in this state. I heard something like that. So, and then they connect, you know, it also contribute to research and education of our students. You know, our student, you know, the sheep class, they come to the lab and learn about wool quality and how it relates to genetics, the research part. They look at, you know, genetics and how it contribute to wool, not only the genetics, but also, you know, are there, you know, today, old time, I remember, you know, you put wool clothes and it is itchy, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's the fiber treatment that allows you to wear without feeling itchy.
Sure,
nowadays.
Sure.
So you know, so all that kind of stuff. So that lab is critical, central to, although primary purpose is service to the wool growers, but it also is very essential to research and the teaching missions of MSU.
Absolutely. And you talk about the research and how valuable it is. I love that you brought up the wheat varieties that MSU's developed, because that has allowed Montana agriculture to expand so far, to be able to have varieties that thrive in this climate. And I think thinking of those experiment stations, they're really moving forward. We've extended Montana agriculture beyond just cereal grains. Pulse crops have become a critical part. And now oil seeds. We're raising more soybeans in Montana than we have before, because we need these researchers to be thinking forward. What are we going to need 10 years from now?
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, that research has to start now.
Yeah. That's a very good point. You know, in one of the, actually in yesterday's Sydney Field Day, Mike Giroux, our durum wheat breeder and the department head of plant sciences and plant pathology, said that it will be 10 to 15 years to, if you have to move a gene from one plant, you know, one different kind of plant to durum wheat and then develop it into a cultivable variety, you know, release it to the farmers. That's around 15 years of time it takes.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's a long-term continuous research. And again, this wouldn't happen without the partnership and the support from our agriculture commodity boards. You know, our wheat and barley plant breeding efforts are supported by Wheat and Barley Committee. So it's a good partnership. And there has to be consistent support for those kind of things to happen. And, you know, you talked about oilseed, and, you know, camelina is a new oil crop that we are looking at. And last year, we received 11 million grant from Department of Energy to look at. And in Sydney, they had some field experiment going on yesterday, and that was interesting to find out. They're looking at different aspects of growing camelina, different varieties and oil characteristics. It may be good for feed and biodiesel, and there are byproducts you can get out of that. So looking into all that whole system aspect of it.
One of the things, as you talk about looking ahead, I think Montana State University looked ahead when they initiated the Dan Scott Ranch Management Program, and I think that is real interesting. So we'll come on back with Dr. Shrikala Bajwa. Am I saying that right, Shrikala?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Because I practiced a lot. Dr. Bajwa, Vice President, Dean, and Director of College of Montana State University's College of Agriculture. Also in studio, Coulter Brown, Director of the Northern Ag Network, nearly 200 radio programs each week. He's a busy guy. Coulter Brown in studio. I'm Tom Schultz, along with Dr. Shrikala Bajwa, again, Vice President, Dean and Director, College of Agriculture at the Montana State University. Covered a ton of stuff here, and we have a few more minutes, and I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you getting out across the state of Montana and, you know, talking with our stakeholders. Of course, part of the field days, the next one is going to be Thursday in Corvallis. Check MSU's website for more information on that. I want to save time here, and we did, the Dan Scott Ranch Management Program. We looked at this maybe a year ago or so here. MSU was thinking ahead, and then we look at the changing landscape in Montana because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and there is probably an even greater need for good ranch managers, and you guys have a program for that.
Yes, it is, you know, I use an analogy, you know, all the time blacksmithing. You need to be an apprentice to a blacksmith for 20, 30 years to become a master smith, right? The ranch management, becoming a ranch manager is something like that. Probably not that long a time frame, but you need to know so many different aspects of managing a ranch, and it takes a long time. Working in other capacities, learning the business to become a ranch manager. So this is a challenge. As you said, you know, more people are coming owning ranches who may not know, who did not grow up in the ranching business. So they need people. You know, there is always a workforce demand there. And they also need people who can step up to become a ranch manager. So as a ranch manager, a potential person would need information on not only on livestock, their nutrition, their health, but managing the rangeland, you know, how to not exhaust the land you have, you know, most efficiently use it. They need to know about the biology. They need to know economics, business side of things. So a bunch of things. So that's, you know, based on that demand. Again, this is MACE mission. You know, this is not MACE, College of Ag, MSU mission, to address the needs of the people in the state. So that is where that program came from a need among the ranchers to have people qualified to step into a ranch management manager position.
And so, it's the envy of land-grant universities in the West. You know, they're trying to start that at University of Wyoming and Colorado State. And at UW, they tell me, well, you know, the Scott family owns the Padlock Ranch. They're based out of Wyoming. We should have that program, not Montana State.
Yeah. I would say our college, you know, I didn't start it. So our previous dean and department head and, you know, the entire group, their advisory council, they all work together. So, you know, part of this program is getting the students the hands-on experience. You know, you can learn things in the classroom. You can learn things in the lab. But it is somewhat different when you are actually in a ranch. And each ranch is different. You know, there are different kinds of ranches out there. So a central part of that program is getting students out there into the ranches and get that, you know, they, in the expectation is that they need to get or they get experience in every aspect of, you know, you open your books, you talk about how you are managing your ranch, your animal, all aspects of that ranch, so that when they graduate, they are ready to step into that position of a ranch manager. So the program started in 2016 and 2019, my first year here, and we had one student. It's not a full four-year program in the sense that student coming into animal science in their freshman year, in their sophomore year, they have to apply to you know, it's very similar to animal science program, but it has additional training. So they have to apply to get into this program. So in their end of their second year, they get in, and then they have to do two internships or two training experience, hands-on experiences at different kinds of ranches. So in 2019, we had one student, our very first student. Right now, we have six students, and we are hoping to increase the number of students, as well as, you know, the number of students also depends on how many ranches are partnering with us. Again, this is a partnership between the college and the ranches in the state. So we are hoping to grow it, and we are very excited about the potential that program offers to the state of Montana.
Well, I know it's a very exciting time for Montana State University. And I appreciate you coming in and sharing your experiences with us here on Voices. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I want to thank you for inviting me. You know, Taylor Brown, he was very gracious when I was talking to him one time. He said, you know, come on to talk about it. And I don't know, we have a minute to conclude.
No, nope, you got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. So I want to say, this whole, whatever we are trying to do can only become successful with the partnership. So whether it is our Precision Ag Innovation Initiative, it needs partnership from all quarters within the state to make it sustainable, long-standing.
Well said, Dr. Bajwa. Now, make it rain, okay?
Yeah, I am trying.